You may be seated. If you would, please, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 21. Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And if you're looking at that in the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 828. Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, who from this whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches we may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how high, how wide, how deep is the love of God. To know this love is surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled to all measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ through all generations forevermore." I want to go back and read that one verse correctly. It says this, May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And that's what we have to know and understand. And we pray that God will help us to understand that today. God bless.
If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask if you would please open up once again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3. This morning, we're going to look at In case you didn't notice, that's the title in your bulletins. In fact, you might notice that that was the title in your bulletins last week. In fact, there have been some similarities in the service today as to last week, as we kept everything the same because we didn't get a chance to speak last week, and I'd chosen those particular songs to go with this particular message. And then this week, I had to rework the message to make it appropriate for fathers. So life rolls on, and we'll see how things go with this particular thing. But this morning, I want to share with you out of this particular passage of Scripture that Pastor Homer read, I want to share with you these six things. I want to share with you the meek, the many, the might, the mission, the measurement, and then the majesty. And so I'm going to ask you to please bear with me as we work our way through this. You will remember that we read verses 14 through 21, and I'm going to reread that passage right now out of the New American Standard, because that is the translation I'll be speaking from. So Paul writes this. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the reminders in your word that it's not about us, but it's about you. Lord, it's not about our will, it's about your will. It's not about our blessings, it's about your blessings. Father, thank you. And we ask now that you would remove from our minds and our hearts all outside distractions, that we might be able to focus upon what your word has to say to each of us today. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. By the way, in case you have missed it, this happens to be Father's Day. The Word of God is very definitive about the fact that the Father is the one who is responsible for the spiritual nourishment, growth, understanding of his family. And when families have a father who genuinely follows Jesus Christ, who genuinely promotes the principles of the Word of God, the family is blessed. When the family has a father that doesn't do that, the family struggles spiritually. And so, guys, this particular message this morning is for you. Gals, this message is for you to poke him in the ribs with when he steps out of line from these things. That's your responsibility. So let's look at these six things that we want to look at this morning. We're going to begin, first of all, with the issue of the meek. Look at that 14th verse, if you would. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." I bow my knees before the Father. Have you ever noticed that there are some men who simply are too proud to bow their knee before the Father? They're filled with that pride and that arrogance, that self-made, "I am a self-made man." I'm sorry, you are not a self-made man. I don't care how great you are or how great you think you are. In the eyes of God, God is looking for men who will be meek. Not wishy-washy, meek. Men who will be submissive to the will of God. Men who will be submitted to God as his Lord and Savior. Men who will be true men by standing up for righteousness and for truth. And the best way to stand up for righteousness and truth is to stand on your knees before God. To be so totally submitted that God has full control of your life, and that he can direct you because you're submissive to the will of God. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." Kneeling is not the position of pride. It is the position of submission. That's important for us to realize. A real man doesn't strut, he bows. Important for us to realize. Now, the blessing of that, I want you to notice, secondly, is the many. Look at the 15th verse. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Fathers, when you are meek before God, when you bow before the Father, when you follow the plan and the principles of God, you give great opportunity for your family to dwell in heaven. You really do. You give great opportunity for your family. If you refuse out of stubbornness, you have a greater chance of your family going to hell, and I'm sure that you don't want your family to go to hell. I don't think that there's a man in this room who would be cruel enough to say, "You know what? I really don't give a rip." But if you want to have greater insurance of your family having eternal life, you be submitted to God. Because that will produce a greater understanding of the spiritual concept of the family that God has put together. You'll notice that as Paul is writing this, he says, look, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven, from whom, the whom there is the Father. God is the one, folks, we somehow have got to get this in our mindset. God is the one who created us. We didn't create ourselves. Secondly, God is the one who set the rules, not us. Because He is God, He has the authority to declare what is righteousness and what is truth. And since He is the God of all righteousness, because He is the God of all truth, we'd better submit ourselves to His will and to His plan, because it's His plan to take us to heaven. That's what He wants. That's what He wants from every one of us. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God wants us to be a people, every one of us, who is fully submitted to God so that we have opportunity. And Paul even comes out here and he says, look, everyone who's in heaven is there because of God. And every family on earth is blessed that has believers in their family because of God. Do you understand that it's not because of how wonderful you are, but it's because of how wonderful He is that you have the hope of life? It's not because you are so incredible, it's because He is so incredible. That's why you have a chance at life. It's not because you are so pure and so holy, it's because He is so pure and so holy that you have the opportunity for life. Now, once you enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ, God has some expectations, some principles that He wants you to live by so that your life then is blessed and enriched. A lot of people think, you know what, I get to become a Christian and God just kills my fun. That's not true. That's a lie from Satan. God doesn't go around killing fun. What does He do? He gives peace. He gives wisdom. He gives discernment. He gives help. He gives encouragement. He gives hope. He gives all of those things that are a blessing to us and to our families. And you know what? Once we enter into that faith relationship with Jesus Christ, once we receive Him as our Savior, once we have entered into a relationship with Him, we find that those things that we thought were fun weren't so fun after all. I found that out when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and came out of a life of alcoholism. I began to realize I wasn't having fun. I was being a moron. I was being stupid. And somehow, God gave me a touch of intelligence by deliverance. When He delivered me from the power of alcohol, He changed my concepts, my mind, and my heart, so that I would never want to offend Him again. You see, folks, every family, the many, are blessed because of God. He blesses the family. Number three, I want you to notice the might. Look at verse 16. He says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. That's an interesting verse, and it goes against our natural mindset. Our natural mindset comes from the army, and I'm not opposed to the army. Don't walk out of here saying, our pastor said the army's a bad thing. Don't you dare do that. You know better than that. But you will remember what the great slogan of the army was from years ago, and I believe it's still a great slogan now. That slogan was, be what? Be all you can be. Be the best that you can be. Join the army. You're a good one. All right? Well, you know what? The truth of the matter is, you join God's army and you become a good one. For it's His army that is involved in the destruction of evil. Not the support of evil. The destruction of evil. It is God's army because He is the supreme commander. He is so wise. He knows how to give us direction. And it's because of His authority and His might and His power that we can be a part of the army of God. Notice how Paul says this. He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, not your glory, His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. When we become believers in Jesus Christ, we receive a gift from God that is His Holy Spirit who begins to work in us that which God wants to work in us, to make us righteous and to purify us so that we can be what God wants us to be. And He begins that process at the new birth when we receive Jesus Christ. There comes the point in our spiritual walk where we determine, you know what? I need more. Why? Because I'm trying to rule my life with God. And what I need is to have Him rule my life completely. And so that's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. That only comes about, folks, by full submission to God and to His might and to His authority, where we step back and you say, you know what, God? I'm trying to control too much of my life. I need Your might. I need Your authority. I need Your purity. I need Your righteousness. So I die to myself in order that You might live through me and make me what You want me to be. Fathers, you need to do that for your families. Your families need to see men who are filled with the righteousness of God. Your families need to see men who are fully yielded to Christ. Your families need hope. And God can give it through full submission. But if you're going to take the route of arrogance, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Always remember that. When pride begins to swell up in the heart, I'm pretty good, you're in danger. Because that's what rose in Satan's heart. As the highest of all angels, when pride entered his life because of his beauty, he fell. If you let pride direct your heart, you'll fall. Submit yourself to God, because He is the God of might. Not you. He is the God of might. He is the God of authority. He is the God of power. He is the God of grace. He is the God of love. He is the God of all. Give your family a fighting chance by being all you can be, by letting Christ be all in you. Number four, I want you to notice the mission. Look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, I'm going to stop there, but I want you to note, first of all, that the mission here is that Christ may be able to dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the mission. When Christ dwells in our hearts by the gift of faith, we begin a walk with God that changes our whole perspective on life. Because of who He is. Not because of who we are. Because of who He is. And we determine that He is truth. And that He's always right. And I'll tell you what, the quicker we come to that determination, God is always right, the easier our spiritual life becomes. Resist the mind of Satan that tries to tell you that you can rule your life with God. Because that mind is not of God. Resist that and submit yourself to God. Give Him full and complete control of your spiritual life, and you'll be blessed. That's the mission of Christ. Do you know why Christ came to die on this earth? To save mankind. Yeah. It's part of it. But it came to make a difference. When you look at the teachings of Christ through the Gospels, you find that Christ, the majority of Christ's teachings were to untwist the false teachings of those who were religious leaders. That's why He had continual conflict with the Pharisees. That's why He had continual conflict with the scribes, the big shots in the church. He had continual conflict. And so the majority of His teaching was to straighten out what man had twisted up. The redemption of man came through the cross and came through the glory of the resurrection. But the teaching of Christ, that 3.5 year period of time where He set the record straight, was in order that we might know how to live and how to do it right. Not by what the religious experts of the day were declaring, but what God expected. Always be leery of religious experts. Know the Word. Know the Word. The Word of God will never lead you wrong. Religious experts get things a little twisted up every once in a while. That's where cults come from. When the religious experts don't follow the Word of God. Follow Christ. Because His mission is to dwell in your heart by faith and give you a pure, holy life. Number five, I want you to notice the measurements brought out in verses 18 and 19. He says that you're being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. When it comes to the time of the judgment, folks, you're not going to be measured on a curve. You're going to be measured by the cross. You're not going to be able to look at other people standing there and saying, well, you know what, God? I was better than that guy. I know that guy. God's going to look at you and going to say, it's not about that guy. It's about you. That guy is not going to answer for your sins. Just like you're not going to answer for that guy's sins. But you're going to stand before God. And you're either going to be able to declare, I lived for God, not to the best of my ability, but by His grace. I lived for God, not because of my goodness, but because of His goodness. I lived for God, not because of my strength, but because of His strength. I lived for God, not because of my love, but because of His love. It's your only hope. You see, folks, we're going to be measured by the standards that God has determined by His Word. Not by what we think, but by what God declares. Not by what we feel, but by what God declares. Don't ever be deceived. The Word of God will never lead you wrong. The Spirit of God will never lead you wrong. But the spirit of self will lead you wrong every time. Follow God and find peace. Number six, notice the majesty. Look at verses 20 and 21. Now, to Him who is able, I want you to, you know what? You ought to underline that. The ability is not in you. The ability is in God. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. To all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Paul sews this up with the reminder that God is the King. He is the ruler. He is the majestic power that we must follow. Not ourselves. Not man, Him. He is able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He is the one who can pour out wisdom and knowledge and discernment upon us and to keep us in truth. Not us. Him. That's why we know His standard. That's why it's important that we know His Word. That's why it's important that we follow His Word. Fathers, Be meek before your heavenly Father. Be submitted to Him. Follow Him so that the many, your family, extended family, might be able to be touched by heaven's grace and be able to live in the might that God produces in man so that He can have the mission fulfilled in your heart, which is the supreme ruling of Jesus Christ over your life, so that when you stand before God to be measured, you're measured by His standards, by His Spirit, by His power. So live now in His majesty. Give your family a fighting chance. Let's stand. This time I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 327. Number 327. I think this is the one I want. That's the one I had put in. Yeah, it is. This morning. And this isn't just to fathers, but it is to fathers. This morning, perhaps there's some here that would say, you know what? I've not been following the call of God in my life to be the man of God that He wants me to be. So today, I'm going to submit myself to Him. If that's the cry of your heart, fellas, I invite you to come forward. Be meek before God. Bow your knee. Bow your heart so that God can have full control of your life. Give your family an opportunity to have life. Live a life that honors God. So if Jesus is calling you, you step out and come. Ladies, the same invitation is open to you. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I've not been living for God the way I know I should. Today, I want to make a fresh commitment to Him to be all that He wants me to be. I invite you to come as well. So please feel free to do that. Even though it's Father's Day, there's opportunity for ladies too. So let's sing number 327, and if God is speaking to you, you step out and come. Amen. I want to thank you for being here today. We trust that you'll be able to leave and say, well, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Want to give you one little reminder as you get ready to leave, starting this Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock in the park. Each Tuesday will be the concert, the gospel concert in the park. Psalmody Lady Singers are going to be there this Tuesday. Men of Faith will be there the following week. Then we'll be posting in your bulletins every week who is the featured artist. So please remember that. Come on out, support those times of singing. Let's have a closing word of prayer. And we're going to ask Matt to come and lead us in our song of benediction. Again, it was a joy having you here today. Visitors, thank you for coming. God bless you. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your people. And I pray now that your Spirit would bless us as we leave this place. As we are dismissed from here, don't let us be dismissed from your presence, but let us be aware of your going with us. And Father, teach us to look for those divine moments that you establish for us, that we might be able to be witnesses for you. Father, we love you and thank you for your love for us. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Happy Father's Day. Matt?